I was going to sing these next bit to you, but the old voice is a bit, you know, not so good at the moment. So I'll read it to you. Money, money, money must be funny in a rich man's world. Money makes the world go round. Money can't buy everything, that's true. But what money can't buy, I can't use. Give me money, that's what I want. So no prizes for guessing what today's scriptures are about. You probably have heard of the recent buyout of Newcastle United by Saudi Arabia for £305 million, making it the most expensive football club in the world. And the reaction on Tyneside has been mixed. Lots of Geordies, as you would expect, have been dancing around St James's Park with tea towels on their heads. But other fans are not happy with the deal at all. One guy I was listening to on the radio wondered, in relation to the Saudis' appalling record on human rights, would the half-time entertainment now be a couple of beheadings? Another fan acknowledged the human rights question, but he said he wanted quality football at St James's and money was the only way to get it. I think these very different approaches to such immense wealth reminded me of the story of a butler who was ringing his lordship, who was in the middle of winter while he was away skiing, with bad and good news. The bad news was that everything his master owned had gone up in flames. House, stables, collection of classic cars, everything had gone. So absorbing the news and sort of shell-shocked and devastated, the lord then asked him, "Well, what's the good news?" To which the butler replied, "Well, sir, it would appear that the intense heat generated by the fire has brought the spring bulbs on earlier than usual this year." So on to the gospel of the story of the rich young man. I think we'll all be familiar with the experience of seeing someone's face fall at the reception of bad news, especially if everything in the garden of that person's life is rosy. So, of course, an unexpected death of a friend or close relative would be a typical example guaranteed to spoil your day. Another example is being asked to do something so difficult that it cuts the ground from under your feet. Imagine the face of Abraham, whose greatest wish for so many years to have a son had been fulfilled, and he was rejoicing in that, when God said, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son Isaac." His blood must have run cold. And the reaction of the rich young man is similar. The happiness that he derives from a life which seems to have been perfect in so many ways, both materially — he was a man of great wealth — and spiritually — "Master, I've kept all these commandments from my earliest days," is suddenly shattered by the sacrifice that Jesus asks of him. No wonder his face fell at the news. The problem with being extremely rich is that you can believe that money can buy you anything. C.S. Lewis wrote, "One of the dangers of having a lot of money is that you may be quite satisfied with the kinds of happiness that money can give, and so fail to realize your need for God. If everything seems to come simply by signing checks, you may forget that you are at every moment totally dependent on God." And this is what Jesus was trying to tell the young man, who knew from his experience that everything has its price. His idea of being able to inherit eternal life was based on the fact of being able to earn it by doing something. He's quite pleased when Jesus commends him on the way he's kept the 7 commandments on love of neighbor. But when he asks him to focus on the 3 commandments that deal with asking us to put all our trust in God rather than wealth as the one thing that he lacks, his face falls. He was sad, but so was Jesus, for here was a really good man, but not one who had meditated on today's first reading, which says, "I prayed and wisdom came to me. Compared with her, all gold is a pinch of sand, and beside her, silver ranks as mud." Wisdom is the word of God which cuts through the skin, bone, and gristle of worldly distractions, like money and riches, right to the heart of the matter, to what is really important. And the heart of the matter is that salvation is a free gift. And the way to receive it is to trust God completely and let go of anything which gets in the way of it. even though I think it's fair to say that none of us is extremely rich, we still should cultivate the virtue of detachment. And that doesn't mean to say for one minute that we can't enjoy any good fortune that comes our way, but not at the expense of forgetting the God who made us, who keeps us in being, and will give us the overwhelming richness of eternal life. As the great German theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "It's only with gratitude that life becomes richer."